It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a huge sports day, not necessarily at Target Field because the Twins and A's were rained out. And a friendly reminder on that, Twins and A's will play two tomorrow. The regularly scheduled Father's Day game will start at high noon. Our coverage, Inside Twins, Derek Falvey, Chris Atterbury, 12:30 lineup card, and then 1:10 first pitch. And today's scheduled starter, Bailey Ober, will be on the mound tomorrow at 1:10. And then the makeup game will be played tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 6, first pitch at 6:40, and Chris Paddock will be on the mound for the Twins. Once again, two tomorrow, a split doubleheader at Target Field, the Twins and the A's. And I got to get back to that Major League scoreboard and check one thing for sure. And it looks like Cleveland did indeed get beat. Toronto beat Cleveland 5-0, so the Twins gain a little ground. They are now 7 games back, so they gain a half game today in the American League Central Division. Kansas City, they play tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. That'll be an 8:10 start our time. And the Twins closing in quick. They sit a game and a half behind Kansas City, who is in second place. All right, U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau is your leader through 10 at Pinehurst number 2. It's a sunny, hot day in the Sand Hills of North Carolina. DeChambeau at 6 under par. Tony Finau, Matthew Pavon, the Frenchman, at 5 under par. Rory McIlroy and Ludvig Åberg, the Swede, at 4 under par. So a lot of big names on that leaderboard in the third round of the U.S. Open. The Loons play tonight in Seattle. That will be a late game our time. By the way, the Stanley Cup, game 4 tonight in Edmonton. Florida at Edmonton. The Panthers can win the Cup. They're up 3-0. And we did get a text, something from our text line, and I want to go back to this. And the texter said, a number of errors on the cup. They started correcting in 95. Jacques Plante, 5 consecutive wins, and goaltender. 56 through 60, his name is spelled differently each time. So thanks for that text. That's pretty cool. So there are errors on the cup, including that one Islanders championship during their four-year run in the late 70s, ending, what, in 80, I think it was, or 80-81 for the New York Islanders and those great teams. One of the other things Josh and I brought up during one of the news breaks, speaking of big events, the U.S. gymnastics trials are coming to Target Center, and you've heard the ads. My daughter, a year ago, insisted we get tickets. And I said, all right, you work full-time, I'll go in on that. You buy one, I'll buy the other. So we got tickets, and we have tickets in the lower bowl for the U.S. gymnastics trials. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to being in the building. Now, there's no guarantee that I'm going to get to go to all of the sessions. We're going to kind of divide that up, but I think it'll be a fun event, certainly a fun event. And the U.S. swimming trials are underway in Indianapolis. at Lucas Oil Stadium, and Josh and I got into this conversation. If you have not seen the video of them building not only the competition pool, but the warm-up pools, it is unbelievable. Now, it's the home of the Colts, and they've had other events in there. They have Big Ten football championship game. They've had the Final Four there, etc. So they have built other sports performance areas in there, like a basketball court. And you've seen the pool built before in arenas. I think they were in Omaha for the last Olympic trials, and they built a pool in a big arena in Omaha. But to my knowledge, this is the first time that they've built an Olympic-sized swimming pool in the middle of a football stadium, Josh. I'm not aware that this has been done before, but the demand for tickets and the demand to be there for the swimming trials said, hey, let's do it in Lucas Oil Stadium, and here we are.
You know what, Steve? It's about dang time that someone makes a splash at Lucas Oil Stadium. No.
You're waiting all day for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that the video is just...
It is insane.
I don't know what the time... You may have mentioned it. I don't know what the time lapse is from
start to finish.
I'm doing a Google search right now, frantically trying to figure this out because it's impressive. It is.
Well, and it's not just one pool.
No.
It is...
They cut the field in half, basically.
Yeah, it is three pools.
Yeah.
Because they have two warm-up pools for these athletes. And it's warm up and cool down because I had a daughter that was a competitive swimmer. And they want you to warm up, but you also need to cool down after a race. So they have those facilities there. But these aren't just any pools where you say, oh, okay, they just build walls around it and they, you know, put a vinyl liner in it and they fill it with water. You know, these Olympic or these high-end competition pools, there's certain technology in it to make the pools fast, if you will, and that has to do with the water, how the walls, how the liners all work together to make sure that the pool, in air quotes here, is fast. You know, you think you pump the water out of a fire hydrant, but you got to heat it to the right temperature. You just can't have tap water in there. It really is extraordinary. So if you go out on the internet and find that video of them building that pool, and of course that's one of the big feature events on television this week as NBC warms up for coverage of the Olympic Games in Paris. And of course they'll be here in full force for the gymnastics trials. Track and field, gymnastics, and swimming, wouldn't you agree, are kind of the marquee events. You've got the marathon, you got hoops, you've got some of that other stuff. Beach volleyball is kind of... But if you want to point to old-school, marquee, have-to-watch, track, swimming, gymnastics, they're probably the big three for me.
It involves the most athleticism. I mean, you're dealing with... Running, you're just the purest form of running, first of all. Second of all, you're dealing with something that you're in water for a long period of time, trying to compete against all of the other people from different countries. And what was the third? Gymnastics, which the balancing
Simone
beam
Biles.
I just have to start with the beam, and that is all you need to know about the athleticism. The hand-eye coordination of these wonderful athletes that are coming from around the world, it's one of the best times of the year. I love the Olympics. I'll admittedly say I haven't dove into these events in recent years as much as I would like to, just because, you know, schedules get busy, whatever. But as a kid, I used to watch every second of it. It was just so fascinating. But I think you nailed it. Those are the top three for sure.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, hoops, the United States has done well traditionally. One thing you can guarantee, Team USA women will win the gold medal in basketball. The men should not a foregone conclusion, but should win a gold medal there. But, yeah, the gymnastics is something I can't fathom. If you know how to swim, you understand swimming. Now, at that speed, Katie Ledecky or other great legends like Michael Phelps before that, you know, that's otherworldly talent and speed and power and endurance. Gymnastics is the one that's hard to fathom, that human beings are able to do what, for instance, Simone Biles is able to do. It's still incredible. So very excited about that. But if you get a chance, I rarely say, you got to go to the internet, you got to see this video. I generally don't like doing that. But in the case of them building these pools at Lucas Oil Stadium, and it leads me to my next thought. If they can do it there, why not in 4 years or 8 years bring the U.S. swimming trials to U.S. Bank Stadium? We got a dome stadium. We've had tons of big events there already. A Super Bowl, a Final Four. I mean, there's Viking games in there. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And why not try and get the swimming trials at here somewhere down the road? I would definitely buy tickets to it. Because the one thing you can say about swimming in a sport like that, it is exciting. It is exciting.
You know it would be just as exciting in that stadium to watch? The high dive.
Yes. Yeah, really, really high dive.
Like, I couldn't imagine being in U.S. Bank Stadium watching, I don't even know off the top of my head how many feet they jump from, but
I think it's 30 meter. I think the highest platform, or is it, no, it's 10. Come on, 30 meters, that's 90 feet in the air. I think it's the 10-meter platform is the highest platform, if memory serves. I could be wrong. Send me a text if I am, but I think the highest platform, but that's still over 30 feet in the air.
In the World Championships, it says men jump from a 27-meter, which is 89 feet, and women jump from a 20-meter, which is 66 feet.
Yeah, okay.
Which is insane.
Yeah, that is insane. All right, quick break. We'll come back with more. It is 5:18. Regular changes to top the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. We'll have that for you. Coming up a little bit later on in the hour, we'll put a bow on two state championships. State lacrosse champions were crowned today for the boys and girls. David Levesque will join from the Star Tribune. Oh, by the way, the Loons, they're out on the coast. They're playing Seattle tonight. Loons have had a really good year, considering they fired their coach, didn't get their permanent new head coach until after the start of the season. The Loons having a good year. Once again, they'll be playing late tonight out in Seattle here on News Talk 830-WCCO. You look out the window, you know why the Twins were rained out today at Target Field against Oakland. They'll play the A's not once but twice on Father's Day. Our coverage begins at noon with Inside Twins. Chris Atterbury visits with Derek Falvey. Lineup card 12:30, first pitch 1:10. Bailey Ober will be on the mound for that one. Then game two, our coverage begins at 6 with the lineup card, first pitch 6:40. Chris Paddock on the hill. Twins take Monday off. 4 high school baseball championship games at Target Field on Monday. And then the Twins and the Rays open a 3-game series Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and a Thursday matinee at Target Field. I mentioned a lot of changes on that leaderboard at the U.S. Open. They're really struggling on a hot, sunny day at Pinehurst, number 2. Bryson DeChambeau, all alone, 6 under par. He is through 10 holes. Matthew Pavon, the Frenchman, minus 5. Rory McIlroy at minus 5. Ludvig Åberg at 5 under par. Tony Finau at minus 4. Patrick Cantlay's backed up a little bit. He's at minus 3. Hothead Tyrell Hatton, minus 2. Hideki Matsuyama, minus 2. The only other player under par, South Korean Tom Kim, at minus 1. Colin Morikawa, 4 under 66 early in the day. He's in at even par, but a tough day at Pinehurst number two. And Bryson DeChambeau, another birdie on his card. He's moved to 7 under par early on the back nine in the third round. So the American, who now plays on the LIV Tour and has played well in the majors, is now at -7 in a 2-shot lead in the U.S. Open. How about that? That's pretty impressive. Let's jump back to the weather, and we'll have a complete update on the forecast here momentarily. 63 now, and parts of the metro area, according to radar, seeing fairly heavy rain. And that leads to another reminder from our great listeners. Remind those who are driving that it's the law to have your car lights on. Some pop on automatically, but those sometimes are only the driving lights, or if it's dark enough, your auto lights will come on. But with it raining around the metro area and beyond, have your lights on. And someone texted in to say that there's folks out there driving around with their lights on. So it is the law. Turn those lights on, have your seatbelts on, etc. And once again, heaviest rain right now showing up on radar. As we take a look at that radar picture on this Saturday afternoon, heaviest rain moving through the west and north metro at this hour. And then it looks like we might get a break when it comes to the rain, as this continues to slide from southwest to northeast, that we could actually get a break in the rain here pretty quickly. So that would be good news indeed. And I haven't seen the totals, but maybe you saw it, Josh, the drought monitor that comes out every week. What was a terrible drought last summer now is non-existent. We had all that rain in the fall. I remember we had, at least at my house, over 9 inches in 1 week this past autumn. And then, of course, we had the mild winter, not a lot of snow, etc. And now with all the rain this spring, a drought, no more. And we still have some flooding conditions on some of the streams and rivers. And certainly the rain we're expecting today, and then again the rain Sunday night into Monday, won't help those conditions.
Looks like looks like D0, looking at the graph that they provide as of June 11th. It's D0, so it's, I think, 2.40, which is abnormally dry last week.
Really?
Yeah.
That there's still some areas that are in drought conditions.
Yep, 97.60 have no drought, and there is a small percentage. I can't seem to find it on the map. I'm surprised they don't kind of put it
Heard it was way up north.
Probably.
If I remember seeing that map early in the week, I don't have it in front of me. But it is extraordinary how quick it's changed, and it looks to be a very wet week in these parts. And we haven't had a ton of hot days, and we'll have more about that. We do expect a very warm, humid Father's Day, and we'll have all those details coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. David LeVake will join us from the Star Tribune. He covers high school sports for the paper, and he was at State Lacrosse. Benilde St. Margaret's wins the title. Lakeville South wins the girls' title. We'll get into that. We'll also take a look at the 4 championship games in baseball scheduled for Monday at Target Field. That is all coming up here on a Saturday. Steve Thompson in, and our producer, Josh Wheeler. Twins got rained out. They'll play 2 tomorrow here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. We had Tim Layton from the High School League on earlier in the day pointing out that they had to adjust schedules for girls and boys State Lacrosse Championship Saturday. And if memory serves, they were going to play both championship games at Eden Prairie today, the girls at 2:30, and then the boys' championship game at 6. The girls stayed at Eden Prairie. The boys went out to Chaska. They started both of those games at 2:30. David LeVake covering State Lacrosse for the Star Tribune. David, good to visit with you.
Nice to visit with you, Steve.
Yeah, and I would assume you had a steady rain for that boys lacrosse championship game.
It was unrelenting.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sherry Gross, who was taking photos for the Star Tribune, said, spotty showers might, you know what.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they pulled the pin on the Twins game. They rearranged the schedules. And a familiar champion in boys lacrosse, Benilde St. Margaret's, does it again. Just a dominant year.
Their third championship in 4 years. So they only interrupted last year because they got beat by Prior Lake in the semifinals. And they had that one sticking in their craw. And they kind of fueled their, especially their seniors, have fueled them all year long. And two of their seniors got things started early with a lot of goal scoring, and the rest of the team followed suit, and they were too much for Lakeville North, 18-10 final.
Yeah, and this is a sport, David, that continues to grow in popularity, and I know you and the entire team over at the Star Tribune cover it all. But this sport continues to grow, more and more kids. But one thing remains the same, that the power structure. You got the Lakeville schools. You've got Benilde St. Margaret's. It is still southwest suburbs, southern suburbs dominating this sport.
That's exactly it. Prior Lake, Eden Prairie, they were dominant for a while. And they kind of had a tournament this year where I joked to the Eden Prairie coach. I said, you finally made Eden Prairie a plucky underdog. He laughed. But, you know, they had their run, and Prior Lake and Lakeville North and Benilde are having it now. And that's definitely where the power is. Now, you'll have a team like White Bear Lake jump up and win a championship, and that's great for them. But that they don't have the staying power that the South programs, the West programs do. So we'll see if more of that shift can move to the East, and you'll get, you know, like Stillwater is having some really good years right now. And we'll see what the future brings with those programs.
Yeah, sport continues to grow. Benilde St. Margaret's wins boys, beating Lakeville North 18-10. We should point out that third place, Eden Prairie, beat Stillwater 12-9, and the consolation final, Egan downs Minnetonka 21-11. We'll talk girls here in a moment. Right now, these state tournaments are held in high school venues, and that's probably because the sport hasn't grown dramatically at the collegiate level, so there aren't a lot of college venues, if you will, to play in, because a lot of state tournaments are played, for instance, boys and girls hockey at the XL Energy Center, boys and girls hoops at the U at Williams Arena or Target Center, football, soccer at U.S. Bank Stadium. Maybe someday, as the sport continues to grow in this area at the collegiate level.
Yeah, I think that, because right now the latest talk we had about spring tournaments, especially the softball Coaches Association, they made noise this year, and they're thinking about filing a lawsuit, a Title IX based lawsuit, to get the tournament out of Caswell Park in North Mankato and get it into the U of M facilities on the U of M campus. So I know eventually there may be some similar movements by the lacrosse powers that be. I thought I'd heard that they was always maybe had a home at TCO Stadium, where the Vikings have training camp and things. I thought that would be a good venue, but
sure.
As it stands, it just rotates around to various high schools right now.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, you know, you've got field markings, but that can be accomplished. I like the TCO idea. That is a wonderful facility. The Aurora play there as well right now. And, of course, you've got the Vikings hosting some high school football games out there as well. So it would be a familiar venue. And it's well before training camp starts. So, you know, maybe the Vikes would be open to hosting at some point.
Well, I think it separates itself from just another venue, because now you have a bit of pageantry. Now there's something special about those final games, and that's all those other tournaments you mentioned have that, and that's something that maybe lacrosse will make some noise about, and when the time is right, and try to get some things moving in that direction. We'll see.
Yeah. And by the way, we want to talk about the girls' champions, a dominant run for Lakeville South. They beat Prior Lake today in the girls' championship game over at Eden Prairie today. And once again, a rainy day over there at Eden Prairie. So tip of the cap, though, to the schools that put on these events. I brought it up with Tim Layton earlier today from the Minnesota State High School League. For instance, St. Michael Albertville, a state track and field meet, that takes not only a track and a stadium, but all the surrounding area for field events, and they've done an outstanding job up there.
Yeah, other than the drive up from a guy that lives in Woodbury, I have no complaints.
Yeah, proximity is certainly a factor.
I mean, if you had before you had Hamlin, and Hamlin was great, you know, great college facility, but you couldn't park anywhere, you know. So you don't have that problem at Pinellas, or excuse me, at St. Michael Albertville. The parking is great once you get up there. So it's but you know, there's no perfect venue. It's just kind of whichever one has the least flaws, and I think St. Michael Albertville has the least flaws right now. So let's keep it there and see what happens.
Yeah, and back to softball. I had never been in all the state tournaments I've attended, and as long as I've been around and covering events and doing play-by-play, etc., I had never been to a state softball tournament at Caswell Park in North Mankato. And I understand, you know, some of the coaches wanting to get it to the cities, etc., and maybe have it at the View or at the U at a venue, or at least championship games. But they really do an outstanding job down there. I mean, they really care about the event, and it's a great facility to get all those games in a three-day time period. It's a pretty good setup. I think they do a great job down there for what it's worth.
I'll have to take your word for it, because like you just said about yourself, I have not attended anything at Caswell Park in North Mankato. I've never had any of those, because usually I'm doing track that same weekend.
Yeah. No, I wanted to get down there, and I got a couple of assignments. I got the 2A and the 4A championship games. Big thanks to everyone at NSPN.TV for giving me the shot. And it was really good. I was very impressed, and I think...
Okay, so you were finally there. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it gets our stamp of approval. We'll see what the coaches ultimately say about it. But quick update on the girls. Lakeville South beat Prior Lake 12-8. They win the championship. I had a chance to see Lakeville South in the quarterfinals. Just a big, strong, dominant team and a deserving champion. Benilde St. Margaret's beat Stillwater 15-13 for third place. And then it was Minnetonka beating Elk River Zimmerman 18-9 in the consolation final. So congrats to all the lacrosse programs. And this is a sport where they play in the elements. You got to admire that. Football, soccer, lacrosse, they'll play in any weather.
Except lightning.
Except lightning. Nobody plays in the lightning. And by the way, Father's Day is coming up tomorrow, David. And I know you and your friend Lauren did a book, Tourney Time. If you're looking for a gift for Dad and he's a hockey fan, I'm sure it's available at a bookstore near you. So if you need to get something for Dad for tomorrow, Tourney Time still available, isn't it?
Oh, darn right. Yeah, put out the updated version just in February. So it takes you from 1945, the first year of the tournament, all the way through 2023. And so all those years are covered. All those years are handled in an individual way, where it's all based on interviews we've done, more than 400 of them, with players and coaches. And it's really every chapter is a unique story on all those programs. And it's not a, you know, the same old, you know, few times. It really gets under the nails of the tournament in each given year. And yeah, I'm not biased, but I strongly recommend it, because I know we worked our tails off to produce it. So, yeah, it'd make a great gift for Dad. And I think that if their dad's a hockey fan per se, or just a fan of local history and a fan of good storytelling, I think this book covers all those areas as well.
So there you go. Father's Day gift idea. It's not too late to pick up Tourney Time at a bookstore near you. A great look at the state hockey tournament over the years. Hey, David, good to visit with you today. Great work to you and the entire team at the Star Tribune. You guys put forth amazing effort.
I appreciate that, Steve, and I admire your work on the Good Neighbor too. So let's both keep it going as long as we can.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang around till they ask me to leave. I think is what I'm gonna do. All right, David, have a good night.
You too. Once again, bye bye.
Yeah, there he is, David LeVake from the Star Tribune, covering state lacrosse this week, a track up at St. Michael Albertville. And the high school sports season almost in the rearview mirror. There are some events still to come. We'll talk state baseball. We'll have a preview of that. We'll get you up to date on the U.S. Open leaderboard. Some big names atop that leaderboard. It should be a great Father's Day if you're just going to hang out in the AC and watch golf. We'll get into that in more detail in a moment here on a Saturday at News Talk 830-WCCO. All the news at 6, then the CCO conversations, some of the highlights from the past week here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Here's what we've got coming up tomorrow. Our sports coverage continues at 10, The Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz. And then at noon, Inside Twins, Derek Falvey visits with Chris Atterbury. And then at 12:30, the pregame lineup card. I'm sure Gino is going to be handling the duties there. And then at 1:10, Twins and A's. That'll be game 3 of the 4-game set. They're going to play a split doubleheader tomorrow because today's game was rained out. So they'll play game 1, clear the ballpark. And then at 6, our pregame show. And then at 6:40, first pitch. Bailey Ober will pitch game 1. Chris Paddock scheduled to pitch game 2. So not one, but 2 Twins games on Father's Day at Target Field. And the weather is another consideration. We have the rain today. Rain will probably wind down late tonight. And then on Sunday, just downright hot and humid. Our high expected 92 degrees. Humidities will be way up there. As a result, we have a heat advisory in effect from 1 until 7 on Sunday, just here in the Twin Cities metro area. This doesn't include any of central or southern Minnesota or western Wisconsin. This is just for the Twin Cities metro area. Heat indices up around 100 degrees here in the heart of the Twin Cities. It still will be a hot, humid day all around the area on Sunday. Then showers and thunderstorms brew up again Sunday night, overnight into Monday. And then Monday looks like a stormy day. Thunderstorms and rain likely throughout the day and a high near 84. And the bummer is that the 4 state baseball championship games are scheduled for Target Field on Monday. And you feel for the kids that are all geared up to play. We'll see about the weather. At 10 a.m., 1A title game, Parker's Prairie and Springfield. At 1, 2A title game, Rockford against Foley. At 4:30, Matamida is scheduled to play Totino Grace. And then in the nightcap, at 7:30, Eastridge and Moundsview. Twins have the day off. They'll resume play on Tuesday. Twins and Rays open a 3-game set at Target Field. So it is a bummer, Josh, when you think about it. It's a bummer when the Twins get rained out. But then you've got rain and storms forecasted for a big day like that when all these kids get a chance to live their dream and play at Target Field.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for them.
Yeah, it's an interesting predicament with just how the weather's kind of spun around of all weekends. You know, Father's Day weekend. Now you have all the writers and all these media people that kind of have to pivot and readjust their schedule for tomorrow. Hence why we kind of had to stretch things out today on this Saturday. And then you have, of course, the high school game on Monday. Yeah, where, man, you just hope that these kids get to kind of see their dreams through and be able to play on the biggest stage. It's great playing at, I think I'd still call it Parade Stadium and stuff like that, or CHS even. But playing at Target Field, I think it was Tim Layton that even mentioned it earlier, where he's like, these kids get a chance to see their name, their headshot on the big screen at Target Field. Like,
yeah,
that's something you don't get to do very, like, you get to say, I played for my high school team on the Minnesota Twins home field. Like, I had my picture up on that big board. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
So hopefully it works out because the Twins are right back there on Tuesday. I'm not sure what they'll do if they're not able to get the games in. Hopefully we don't have to worry about that. By the way, Loon's in action in Seattle late tonight. If you want to stay up late and have Apple TV, you might be able to catch that. And then the Lynx, they're in action against Dallas Monday night, Target Center, 7 o'clock. The Lynx coming off a win over the LA Sparks on Friday. Hockey fans could see the cup handed out tonight. Florida at Edmonton. And Florida leads.
By the way, Steve, I just got word. If the games tomorrow get rained out, we will have a triple header Twins A's on Monday. They're going to try for the triple header. We're going to get first pitch at 9 a.m. Inside Twins 8 a.m. And yeah, we're going to go from there.
Yeah, what we have heard is that the games will get in. It's just going to be hot tomorrow. For Father's Day at Target Field. Once again, our coverage beginning at noon. Hey, I want to thank a bunch of people here before we say goodbye, and that is a number of guests who jumped in on the program today after we got rained out at Target Field. Tim Layton from the Minnesota State High School League, he gave us an update on how things were moved around for state lacrosse today at Eden Prairie and out at Chaska. We also want to thank our good friend Kevin Lynch, who is a Timberwolves analyst for Valley Sports North, talking NBA Finals. By the way, the NBA Finals resume in Boston on Monday night with the Celtics leading at 3-1. The Mavericks had a big blowout win in game number 4. Steve Carney took us outdoors earlier in the program. Stephen Clark from Ars Technica, David LeBake. And also a big thanks to the Twins for providing that great interview earlier today. Dan Gladden had a chance to visit with Joe Nathan when he was in town, and we played that earlier in the show. Andrew Halverson from the Treasure Island Baseball Network got that to us, and that was really a good piece, and we had that for you after the news at 2 o'clock today. So, and a big thanks to David LeVake for joining us later in the program to put a wrap on state lacrosse. Quick update, U.S. Open leaderboard at Pinehurst number 2. Bryson DeChambeau at 7 under par through 12. Rory McIlroy through 15 at minus 5. Ludvig Åberg from Sweden also at minus 5. Matthew Pavon sits 3 off the lead late in the third round of the U.S. Open. Have a great Saturday night. Once again, the Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz tomorrow at 10 a.m. Josh Wheeler, have a good one. Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a huge sports day, not necessarily at Target Field because the Twins and A's were rained out. And a friendly reminder on that, Twins and A's will play 2 tomorrow. The regularly scheduled Father's Day game will start at high noon. Our coverage, Inside Twins, Derek Falvey, Chris Atterbury, 12:30 lineup card, and then 1:10 first pitch. And today's scheduled starter, Bailey Ober, will be on the mound tomorrow at 1:10. And then the makeup game will be played tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 6, first pitch at 6:40, and Chris Paddock will be on the mound for the Twins. Once again, 2 tomorrow, a split doubleheader at Target Field, the Twins and the A's. And I got to get back to that Major League scoreboard and check one thing for sure. And it looks like Cleveland did indeed get beat. Toronto beat Cleveland 5-0, so the Twins gain a little ground. They are now 7 games back, so they gain a half game today in the American League Central Division. Kansas City, they play tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. That'll be an 8-10 start our time. And the Twins closing in quick. They sit a game and a half behind Kansas City, who is in second place. All right, U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau is your leader through 10 at Pinehurst number 2. It's a sunny, hot day in the Sandy Hills in North Carolina. DeChambeau at 6-under par. Tony Finau, Matthew Pavon, the Frenchman, at 5-under par. Rory McIlroy and Ludvig Åberg, the Swede, at 4-under par. So a lot of big names on that leaderboard in the third round of the U.S. Open. The Loons play tonight in Seattle. That will be a late game our time. By the way, the Stanley Cup, game 4 tonight in Edmonton. Florida at Edmonton. The Panthers can win the Cup. They're up 3-0. And we did get a text, something from our text line, and I want to go back to this. And the texter said, a number of errors on the Cup. They started correcting in 95. Jacques Plante, 5 consecutive wins and goaltender. 56 through 60, his name is spelled differently each time. So thanks for that text. That's pretty cool. So there are errors on the Cup, including that one Islanders championship during their four-year run in the late 70s, ending, what, in 80, I think it was, or 80-81 for the New York Islanders and those great teams. One of the other things Josh and I brought up during one of the news breaks, speaking of big events, the U.S. gymnastics trials are coming to Target Center, and you've heard the ads. My daughter, a year ago, insisted we get tickets, and I said, all right, you work full-time, I'll go in on that. You buy one, I'll buy the other. So we got tickets, and we have tickets in the lower bowl for the U.S. gymnastics trials. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to being in the building. Now, there's no guarantee that I'm going to get to go to all of the sessions. We're going to kind of divide that up, but I think it'll be a fun event, certainly a fun event. And the U.S. swimming trials are underway in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, and Josh and I got into this conversation. If you have not seen the video of them building not only the competition pool, but the warm-up pools, it is unbelievable. Now, it's the home of the Colts, and they've had other events in there. They have Big Ten football championship game. They've had the Final Four there, etc. So they have built other sports performance areas in there, like a basketball court. And you've seen the pool built before in arenas. I think they were in Omaha for the last Olympic trials, and they built a pool in a big arena in Omaha. But to my knowledge, this is the first time that they've built an Olympic-sized swimming pool in the middle of a football stadium, Josh. I'm not aware that this has been done before, but the demand for tickets and the demand to be there for the swimming trials said, hey, let's do it in Lucas Oil Stadium, and here we are.
You know what, Steve? It's about dang time that someone makes a splash at Lucas Oil Stadium. No.
You're waiting all day for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that the video is just...
It is insane.
I don't know what the time... You may have mentioned it. I don't know what the time lapse is from start to finish. I'm doing a Google search right now, trying to figure this out because it's impressive. It is...
Well, and it's not just one pool.
No.
It is...
They cut the field in half, basically.
Yeah, it is three pools.
Yeah.
Because they have two warm-up pools for these athletes. And it's warm up and cool down, because I had a daughter that was a competitive swimmer, and they want you to warm up, but you also need to cool down after a race, so they have those facilities there. But these aren't just any pools where you say, oh, okay, they just build walls around it, and they, you know, put a vinyl liner in it, and they fill it with water. You know, these Olympic or these high-end competition pools, there's certain technology in it to make the pools fast, if you will, and that has to do with the water, how the walls, how the liners all work together to make sure that the pool, in air quotes here, is fast. You know, you think you pump the water out of a fire hydrant, but you got to heat it to the right temperature. You just can't have tap water in there. It really is extraordinary. So if you go out on the internet and find that video of them building that pool, and of course that's one of the big feature events on television this week as NBC warms up for coverage of the Olympic Games in Paris. And of course they'll be here in full force for the gymnastics trials. Track and field, gymnastics, and swimming, wouldn't you agree, are kind of the marquee events. You got the marathon, you got hoops, you've got some of that other stuff. Beach volleyball is kind of, but if you want to point to old school, marquee, have to watch, track, swimming, gymnastics, They're probably the big three for me.
It involves the most athleticism. I mean, you're dealing with running, you're just the purest form of running, first of all. Second of all, You're dealing with something that you're in water for a long period of time, trying to compete against all of the other people from different countries. And what was the third? Gymnastics, which The balancing
Simone
beam is, I just have to start with the beam, and that is all you need to know about the athleticism, the hand-eye coordination of these wonderful athletes that are coming from around the world. It's one of the best times of the year. I love the Olympics. I'll admittedly say I haven't dove into these events in recent years as much as I would like to, just because, you know, schedules get busy, whatever. But as a kid, I used to watch every second of it. It was just so fascinating. But I think you nailed it. Those are the top three for sure.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, hoops, the United States has done well traditionally. One thing you can guarantee, Team USA women will win the gold medal in basketball. The men should, not a foregone conclusion, but should win a gold medal there. But yeah, the gymnastics is something I can't fathom. If you know how to swim, you understand swimming. Now, at that speed, Katie Ledecky or other great legends like Michael Phelps before that, you know, that's otherworldly talent and speed and power and endurance. Gymnastics is the one that's hard to fathom, that human beings are able to do what, for instance, Simone Biles is able to do. It's still incredible. So very excited about that. But if you get a chance, I rarely say, you got to go to the internet, you got to see this video. I generally don't like doing that. But in the case of them building these pools at Lucas Oil Stadium, and it leads me to my next thought, if they can do it there, why not in 4 years or 8 years bring the U.S. swimming trials to U.S. Bank Stadium? We got a dome stadium. We've had tons of big events there already, a Super Bowl, a Final Four. I mean, there's Viking games in there. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And why not try and get the swimming trials at here somewhere down the road? I would definitely buy tickets to it. Because one thing you can say about swimming in a sport like that, it is exciting. It is exciting.
You know what would be just as exciting in that stadium to watch? the
high dive.
Yeah,
really, really high dive.
Like, I couldn't imagine being in U.S. Bank Stadium watching. I don't even know off the top of my head how many feet they jump from, but just
I think that, it's 30 meter. I think the highest platform, or is it? No, it's 10. Come on, 30 meters. That's 90 feet in the air. I think it's the 10 meter platform is the highest platform, if memory serves. I could be wrong. Send me a text if I am, but I think the highest platform, but that's still over 30 feet in the air.
In the World Championships, it says men jump from a 27-meter, which is 89 feet, and women jump from a 20-meter, which is 66 feet.
Yeah, okay.
Which is insane. Yeah, man.
That is insane. All right, quick break. We'll come back with more. It is 5:18. Regular changes to top the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. We'll have that for you. Coming up a little bit later on in the hour, we'll put a bow on two state championships. State lacrosse champions were crowned today for the boys and girls. David Levesque will join from the Star Tribune. Oh, by the way, the Loons, they're out on the coast. They're playing Seattle tonight. Loons have had a really good year, considering they fired their coach, didn't get their permanent new head coach until after the start of the season. The Loons having a good year. Once again, they'll be playing late tonight out in Seattle here on News Talk 830 WCCO. You look out the window, you know why the Twins were rained out today at Target Field against Oakland. They'll play the A's not once but twice on Father's Day. Our coverage begins at noon with Inside Twins. Chris Atterbury visits with Derek Falvey. Lineup card 12:30, first pitch 1:10. Bailey Ober will be on the mound for that one. Then game two, our coverage begins at 6 with the lineup card, first pitch 6:40. Chris Paddock on the hill. Twins take Monday off. 4 high school baseball championship games at Target Field on Monday. And then the Twins and the Rays open a 3-game series Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and a Thursday matinee at Target Field. I mentioned a lot of changes on that leaderboard at the U.S. Open. They're really struggling on a hot, sunny day at Pinehurst, number 2. Bryson DeChambeau, all alone, 6-under par. He is through 10 holes. Matthew Pavon, the Frenchman, minus 5. Rory McIlroy at minus 5. Ludvig Åberg at 5-under par. Tony Finau at minus 4. Patrick Cantlay's backed up a little bit. He's at minus 3. Hothead Tyrell Hatton, minus 2. Hideki Matsuyama, minus 2. The only other player under par, South Korean Tom Kim, at minus 1. Colin Morikawa, 4-under 66 early in the day. He's in at even par, but a tough day at Pinehurst, number 2. And Bryson DeChambeau, another birdie on his card. He's moved to 7-under par early on the back nine in the third round. So the American, who now plays on the LIV Tour and has played well in the majors, is now at minus 7 in a 2-shot lead in the U.S. Open. How about that? That's pretty impressive. Let's jump back to the weather, and we'll have a complete update on the forecast here momentarily. 63 now. And parts of the metro area, according to radar, seeing fairly heavy rain. And that leads to another reminder from our great listeners. Remind those who are driving that it's the law to have your car lights on. Some pop on automatically, but those sometimes are only the driving lights. Or if it's dark enough, your auto lights will come on. But with it raining around the metro area and beyond, have your lights on. And someone texted in to say that there's folks out there driving around with their lights on. So it is the law. Turn those lights on. Have your seatbelts on, etc. And once again, heaviest rain right now showing up on radar as we take a look at that radar picture on this Saturday afternoon. Heaviest rain moving through the west and north metro at this hour. And then it looks like we might get a break when it comes to the rain as this continues to slide from southwest to northeast, that we could actually get a break in the rain here pretty quickly. So that would be good news indeed. And I haven't seen the totals, but maybe you saw it, Josh, the drought monitor that comes out every week. What was a terrible drought last summer now is non-existent. We had all that rain in the fall. I remember we had, at least at my house, over 9 inches in 1 week this past autumn. And then, of course, we had the mild winter, not a lot of snow, etc. And now with all the rain this spring, a drought, no more. And we still have some flooding conditions on some of the streams and rivers. And certainly the rain we're expecting today, and then again the rain Sunday night into Monday won't help those conditions.
Looks like looks like D0, looking at the graph that they provide as of June 11th. It's D0, so it's, I think, 2.40, which is abnormally dry last week.
Really?
Yeah.
That there's still some areas that are in drought conditions.
Yep, 97.60 have no drought, and there is a small percentage. I can't seem to find it on the map. I'm surprised they don't kind of put it on
there. I had heard it was way up north.
Probably.
If I remember seeing that map early in the week, I don't have it in front of me. But it is extraordinary how quick it's changed, and it looks to be a very wet week in these parts. And we haven't had a ton of hot days, and we'll have more about that. We do expect a very warm, humid Father's Day, and we'll have all those details coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. David LeVake will join us from the Star Tribune. He covers high school sports for the paper, and he was at State Lacrosse. Benilde St. Margaret's wins the title. Lakeville South wins the girls' title. We'll get into that. We'll also take a look at the four championship games in baseball scheduled for Monday at Target Field. That is all coming up here on a Saturday. Steve Thompson in, and our producer, Josh Wheeler. Twins got rained out. They'll play two tomorrow here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. We had Tim Layton from the High School League on earlier in the day pointing out that they had to adjust schedules for girls and boys State Lacrosse Championship Saturday. And if memory serves, they were going to play both championship games at Eden Prairie today, the girls at 2:30, and then the boys' championship game at 6. The girls stayed at Eden Prairie. The boys went out to Chaska. They started both of those games at 2:30. David LeVay covering State Lacrosse for the Star Tribune. David, good to visit with you.
Nice to visit with you, Steve.
Yeah, and I would assume you had a steady rain for that boys lacrosse championship game.
It was unrelenting.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sherry Gross, who was taking photos for the Star Tribune, said, "Spotty showers, my, you know what?"
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they pulled the pin on the Twins game. They rearranged the schedules, and a familiar champion in boys lacrosse, Benilde St. Margaret's, does it again. Dominant year.
Their third championship in 4 years, so they only interrupted last year because they got beat by Prior Lake in the semifinals, and they had that one sticking in their craw, and they it kind of fueled their, especially their seniors, it fueled them all year long, and two of their seniors got things started early with a lot of goal scoring, and the rest of the team followed suit, and they were too much for Lakeville North, 18-10 final.
Yeah, and this is a sport, David, that continues to grow in popularity, and I know you and the entire team over at the Star Tribune cover it all. But this sport continues to grow, more and more kids. But one thing remains the same, that the power structure. You got the Lakeville schools. You've got Benilde St. Margaret's. It is still southwest suburbs, southern suburbs dominating this sport.
That's exactly it. Prior Lake, Eden Prairie, they were dominant for a while, and they kind of had a tournament this year where I joked to the Eden Prairie coach. I said, "You finally made Eden Prairie a plucky underdog." He laughed. But you know, they had their run, and Prior Lake and Lakeville North and Benilde are having it now, and that's definitely where the power is. Now, you'll have a team like White Bear Lake jump up and win a championship, and that's great for them, but that they don't have the staying power that the South programs, the West programs do. So we'll see if more of that shift can move to the east, and you'll get, you know, like Stillwater is having some really good years right now, and we'll see what the future brings with those programs.
Yeah, sport continues to grow. Benilde, St. Margaret's wins boys, beating Lakeville North 18-10. We should point out that third place, Eden Prairie, beat Stillwater 12-9, and the consolation final, Egan downs Minnetonka 21-11. We'll talk girls here in a moment. Right now, these state tournaments are held in high school venues, and that's probably because the sport hasn't grown dramatically at the collegiate level, so there aren't a lot of college venues, if you will, to play in, because a lot of state tournaments are played, for instance, boys and girls hockey at the XL Energy Center, boys and girls hoops at the U at Williams Arena or Target Center, football, soccer at U.S. Bank Stadium. Maybe someday, as the sport continues to grow in this area at the collegiate level.
Yeah, I think that, because right now the latest talk we had about spring tournaments, especially the softball coaches association, they've made noise this year, and they're thinking about filing a lawsuit, a Title IX based lawsuit, to get the tournament out of Caswell Park in North Mankato and get it into the U of M facilities on the U of M campus. So I know eventually there may be a somewhat similar movements by the lacrosse powers that be. I thought I'd heard that they was always maybe had a home at TCO Stadium, where the Vikings have training camp and things. I thought that would be a good venue, but
sure.
As it stands, it just rotates around to various high schools right now.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, you know, you've got field markings, but that can be accomplished. I like the TCO idea. That is a wonderful facility. The Aurora play there as well right now. And, of course, you've got the Vikings hosting some high school football games out there as well. So it would be a familiar venue. And it's well before training camp starts. So, you know, maybe the Vikes would be open to hosting at some point.
Well, I think it separates itself from just another venue, because now you have a bit of pageantry. Now there's something special about those final games, and that's all those other tournaments you mentioned have that, and that's something that maybe lacrosse will make some noise about, and when the time is right, and try to get some things moving in that direction. We'll see.
Yeah. And by the way, we want to talk about the girls' champions, a dominant run for Lakeville South. They beat Prior Lake today in the girls' championship game over at Eden Prairie today. And once again, a rainy day over there at Eden Prairie. So tip of the cap, though, to the schools that put on these events. I brought it up with Tim Layton earlier today from the Minnesota State High School League. For instance, St. Michael Albertville, a state track and field meet. It takes not only a track and a stadium, but all the surrounding area for field events, and they've done an outstanding job up there.
Yeah, other than the drive up from a guy that lives in Woodbury, I have no complaints.
yeah, proximity is certainly a factor.
I mean, if you had before you had Hamlin, and Hamlin was great, you know, great college facility, but you couldn't park anywhere, you know. So you don't have that problem at St. Michael Albertville. The parking is great once you get up there. So it's but you know, there's no perfect venue. It's just kind of whichever one has the least flaws, and I think St. Michael Albertville has the least flaws right now. So let's keep it there and see what happens.
Yeah, and back to softball. I had never been in all the state tournaments I've attended, and as long as I've been around and covering events and doing play-by-play, et cetera, I had never been to a state softball tournament at Caswell Park in North Mankato. And I understand, you know, some of the coaches wanting to get it to the cities, et cetera, and maybe have it at the View or at the U at a venue, or at least championship games. But they really do an outstanding job down there. I mean, they really care about the event, and it's a great facility to get all those games in. in a three-day time period. It's a pretty good setup. I think they do a great job down there for what it's worth.
I'll have to take your word for it because, like you just said about yourself, I have not attended anything at Caswell Park in North Mankato. I've never had any of those because usually I'm doing track that same weekend.
Yeah. No, I wanted to get down there, and I got a couple of assignments. I got the 2A and the 4A championship games. Big thanks to everyone at NSPN.TV for giving me the shot. And it was really good. I was very impressed. And I think
okay, so you were finally there. Okay,
yeah. I mean, it gets our stamp of approval. We'll see what the coaches ultimately say about it. But quick update on the girls: Lakeville South beat Prior Lake 12-8. They win the championship. I had a chance to see Lakeville South in the quarterfinals. Just a big, strong, dominant team and a deserving champion. Benilde St. Margaret's beat Stillwater 15-13 for third place. And then it was Minnetonka beating Elk River Zimmerman 18-9 in the consolation final. So congrats to all the lacrosse programs. And this is a sport where they play in the elements. You got to admire that. Football, soccer, lacrosse, they'll play in any weather.
Except lightning.
Except lightning. Nobody plays in the lightning. And by the way, Father's Day is coming up tomorrow, David. And I know you and your friend Lauren did a book, Tourney Time. If you're looking for a gift for Dad and he's a hockey fan, I'm sure it's available at a bookstore near you. So if you need to get something for Dad for tomorrow, Tourney Time's still available, isn't it?
Oh, darn right. Yeah, put out the updated version just in February. So it takes you from 1945, the first year of the tournament, all the way through 2023. And so all those years are covered. All those years are handled in an individual way where it's all based on interviews we've done, more than 400 of them, with players and coaches. And it's really every chapter is a unique story on all those programs. And it's not a, you know, the same old, you know, few times. It really gets under the nails of the tournament in each given year. I'm not biased, but I'll strongly recommend it because I know we worked our tails off to produce it. So it would make a great gift for Dad. And I think that if whether Dad's a hockey fan per se or just a fan of local history and a fan of good storytelling, I think this book covers all those areas as well.
So there you go. Father's Day gift idea. It's not too late to pick up Tourney Time at a bookstore near you. A great look at the state hockey tournament over the years. Hey, David, good to visit with you today. Great work to you and the entire team at the Star Tribune. You guys put forth amazing effort.
I appreciate that, Steve, and I admire your work on the Good Neighbor too. So let's both keep it going as long as we can.
Yeah. I'm gonna hang around till they ask me to leave. I think is what I'm gonna do. All right, David, have a good night.
You too. Well, okay. Bye bye.
Yeah, there he is, David Levesque from the Star Tribune, covering state lacrosse this week. Track up at St. Michael Albertville, and the high school sports season almost in the rearview mirror. There are some events still to come. We'll talk state baseball. We'll have a preview of that. We'll get you up to date on the U.S. Open leaderboard. Some big names atop that leaderboard. It should be a great Father's Day if you're just going to hang out in the AC and watch golf. we'll get into that in more detail in a moment here on a Saturday at News Talk 830 WCCO. All the news at 6, then the CCO conversations, some of the highlights from the past week here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Here's what we've got coming up tomorrow. Our sports coverage continues at 10, The Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz, and then at noon, Inside Twins, Derek Falvey visits with Chris Atterbury, and then at 12:30, the pregame lineup card. I'm sure Gino is going to be handling the duties there, and then at 1:10, Twins and A's. That'll be game 3 of the 4-game set. They're going to play a split doubleheader tomorrow because today's game was rained out. So they'll play game 1, clear the ballpark, and then at 6, our pregame show. And then at 6:40, first pitch. Bailey Ober will pitch game 1. Chris Paddock scheduled to pitch game 2. So not one, but two Twins games on Father's Day at Target Field. And the weather is another consideration. We have the rain today. Rain will probably wind down late tonight. And then on Sunday, just downright hot and humid. Our high expected 92 degrees. Humidities will be way up there. As a result, we have a heat advisory in effect from 1 until 7 on Sunday. Just here in the Twin Cities metro area, this doesn't include any of central or southern Minnesota or western Wisconsin. This is just for the Twin Cities metro area. Heat indices up around 100 degrees here in the heart of the Twin Cities. It still will be a hot, humid day all around the area on Sunday. Then showers and thunderstorms brew up again Sunday night, overnight into Monday. And then Monday looks like a stormy day. Thunderstorms and rain likely throughout the day and a high near 84. And the bummer is that the four state baseball championship games are scheduled for Target Field on Monday. And you feel for the kids that are all geared up to play. We'll see about the weather. At 10 a.m., 1A title game, Parker's Prairie and Springfield. At 1, 2A title game, Rockford against Foley. At 4:30, Matamida is scheduled to play Totino Grace. And then in the nightcap, at 7:30, Eastridge and Moundsview. Twins have the day off. They'll resume play on Tuesday. Twins and Rays open a three-game set at Target Field. So it is a bummer, Josh, when you think about it. It's a bummer when the Twins get rained out. But then you've got rain and storms forecasted for a big day like that when all these kids get a chance to live their dream and play at Target Field.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for them.
Yeah, it's an interesting predicament with just how the weather's kind of spun around on of all weekends. You know, Father's Day weekend. Now you have all the writers and all these media people that kind of have to pivot and readjust their schedule for tomorrow. That's why we kind of had to stretch things out today on this Saturday. And then you have, of course, the high school game on Monday. Yeah, where, man, you just hope that these kids get to kind of see their dreams through and be able to play on the biggest stage. It's great playing at, I think I still call it Parade Stadium and stuff like that, or CHS even. Playing at Target Field, I think it was Tim Layton that even mentioned it earlier, where he's like, these kids get a chance to see their name, their headshot on the big screen at Target Field. Like,
yeah.
That's something you don't get to do, where, like, you get to say, I played for my high school team on the Minnesota Twins home field. Like, I had my picture up on that big board. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
So hopefully it works out, because the Twins are right back there on Tuesday. I'm not sure what they'll do if they're not able to get the games in. Hopefully we don't have to worry about that. By the way, Loons in action in Seattle late tonight. If you want to stay up late and have Apple TV, you might be able to catch that. And then the Lynx, they're in action against Dallas Monday night, Target Center, 7 o'clock. The Lynx coming off a win over the LA Sparks on Friday. Hockey fans could see the Cup handed out tonight. Florida at Edmonton. And Florida leads.
By the way,
Steve,
I just got word. If the games tomorrow get rained out, we will have a triple header Twins A's on Monday. They're going to try for the triple header. We're going to get first pitch at 9 a.m. Inside Twins, 8 a.m. And yeah, we're going to go from there.
Yeah, what we have heard is that the games will get in. It's just going to be hot tomorrow. For Father's Day at Target Field. Once again, our coverage beginning at noon. Hey, I want to thank a bunch of people here before we say goodbye, and that is a number of guests who jumped in on the program today after we got rained out at Target Field. Tim Layton from the Minnesota State High School League, he gave us an update on how things were moved around for state lacrosse today at Eden Prairie and out at Chaska. We also want to thank our good friend Kevin Lynch, who is a Timberwolves analyst for Bally Sports North, talking NBA Finals. By the way, the NBA Finals resume in Boston on Monday night with the Celtics leading at 3-1. The Mavericks had a big blowout win in game number 4. Steve Kearney took us outdoors earlier in the program. Stephen Clark from Ars Technica, David LeBake. And also a big thanks to the Twins for providing that great interview earlier today. Dan Gladden had a chance to visit with Joe Nathan when he was in town, and we played that earlier in the show. Andrew Halverson from the Treasure Island Baseball Network got that to us, and that was really a good piece, and we had that for you after the news at 2 o'clock today. So, and a big thanks to David LeBake for joining us later in the program to put a wrap on State Lacrosse. Quick update, U.S. Open leaderboard at Pinehurst number 2. Bryson DeChambeau at 7 under par through 12. Rory McIlroy through 15 at minus 5. Ludvig Åberg from Sweden also at minus 5. Matthew Pavon sits 3 off the lead late in the third round of the U.S. Open. Have a great Saturday night. Once again, the Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz tomorrow at 10 a.m. Josh Wheeler, have a good one. Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.